You're listening to the Bathtub Refinishing Podcast. Powered by Bathtub Guys Refinishing. We discuss the refinishing industry, interview owners and operators, and give tips to business owners and entrepreneurs. Now, here's your host, Daniel Montalvo.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I have another guest, special guest. This is Paul. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name's Paul, out of Central Massachusetts.
Yeah. So Paul's actually going to be, guys, he's going to be running the Bathtub Guys location out of there. So we're really excited to have him kind of on board with everything that we're doing. He just pretty much completed his training here. 2 weeks on the field, or a week on the field, a week in the office with me. And he was a little bit ahead of the curves. We finished a little bit earlier. But if you can kind of like, just for people out there, before I want to get it, this part out of the way before we go into the history of Paul, because I think that's going to be interesting for people to hear about. What would you say like is your kind of overall like opinion of the training and everything that you went through here and how everything went?
So training, I guess I like the way that it's segmented, that the first week it's, you know, focused solely on just the actual, you know, tub painting, just focusing on that. And then the second segment is more just the, you know, the business side, admin, sales, stuff like that. And just keeping those two things separate. That way it just, it allows you to focus on one thing at a time. I really like that.
Yeah, I'm, and we talked about it briefly, but like one of the main things for me was making sure there was that separation. I think it's really important. I think it's, for me, everyone knows that the business stuff is kind of my forte, right? So when you came over and, you know, like are doing your field training with Santiago, I try and not intervene or distract and kind of give you guys your time together. The goal with that too is also, I want it to be kind of an intimate thing where you are by yourself. You don't have to feel weird about asking questions about the work, about processes and stuff. It's a reason why I don't like to do them like in big groups.
Right, right.
Like some people train and they're like, I need a 5-person minimum. Yeah. I feel like takes away from a lot of the stuff that we can dive into because you're ahead in some places.
Right.
And honestly, if you were behind in some places, take more time to make sure we hone those things in, right?
Yeah.
But kind of tailor it to you. Like I think one of the things for Paul in particular that I noticed was you had a lot of interest in the social media side and on the advertising and like sales part. So because you were a little bit ahead of the curve on getting your LLC already sorted and all that stuff out of the way, we got to dive deeper into those topics. And even though we're following the handbook as it's written, you got a little bit more hands-on with the stuff that you really wanted to know.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, but overall though, like, what do you think about what you learned? Do you think that you picked up some valuable stuff? How, are you excited about the future going?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of stuff, you know, new things to me that just really just like opened my eyes to just the possibilities. You know, like I mentioned before, I was, you know, really looking to, you know, start my own refinishing company, you know, either way.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of these things that, you know, you taught me, you showed me, it's like some of those things, I mean, you know, I don't know if I'd, you know, if I'd ever learn them, if you are, you know, it would take a number of years to, you know, get to that level. And just opening all these, you know, avenues for me at that point, it's just like, it really puts it in a place like, wow, this, you know, this really makes it, you know, that much easier for me to really go forth and go ahead and be successful. So I really like that.
Were you surprised at all about how in-depth we got into certain things? Because I feel like like I said before, a lot of the refinishing stuff in general, but even other business trade kind of things where come and learn this thing, are they kind of try to leave you in the dark a little bit. And I feel like we covered a lot of bases And I was just, I'm curious, as somebody who, I mean, you've been to another one of these types of things before for the last people you worked. Like, how deep does it actually go in another place versus like what you learned here?
Yeah, so definitely big difference. You know, I don't know if I could mention the company.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so I did the, you know, the Hawk training. This is, you know, over 2 years ago. Which was, at that time at least, it was, you know, a 3-day course. It was me and another guy. This other person already had a refinishing company. He just had to go there just because he had never been trained by them, but he was using their products. But however, it's like, it's all in-house there. There's no, you know, actually going out into the field and actually seeing how it's done, practicing. We had, you know, it was... You know, basically first just going over the booklet, what all the products are, how to use them, here's the gun, how to use that. Just, you know, kind of more just a classroom style.
Yeah.
And then the next day we got to do like a little bit of practice of, you know, spraying, mixing the paint, spraying a mock tub. Then the next day spraying a countertop. And that was about it. Like I said, it's all in-house, you know.
Did you feel like it was adequate enough, like, to call it like a training? Because that's my biggest thing with it, is like, when you're onboarding someone even at a fast food job, it's like a week of training.
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah.
Come here and pay for a 3-day, which what seems more like a crash course, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But do you feel like it was adequate enough? Maybe for you, maybe not for others. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Like I said, it's, you know, we talked about it before, where I feel like I've kind of somewhat, well, mostly had to teach myself on how to do it. Because I went back to the company where I had worked for, you know, nobody else in that company did any refinishing. So I was like the only refinisher. So... And then they just sent me right out into the field, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to put the, you know, all the equipment together, the gun, doing everything, masking, and then finally spraying. And, you know, honestly, my first few tubs didn't come out all that great.
Yeah, they never do.
Yeah, they never do. Eventually, I got, you know, the gist of it, but it took me a little bit. It's a lot of it I had to just learn on my own, trial and error. Just 3 days of, you know, one day of classroom and a couple days of, you know, using a gun, unless you have any prior experience, it's an uphill battle.
I think, and by the way, I mean, I'm kind of familiar with some of these other ones, not Hawks in particular. They all kind of do that same style. A lot of the new, like, epoxy schools that are popping up, kind of do it that way too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's necessarily bad, but I also think like expectations of what you're going to learn, and like people go to these things with the intention of, I'm going to come out professional, or I'm going to come out like really sharpening my skills. And I think that more so than anything, what I've learned anyway, is that it's a lot more similar to a basic outline then going and then doing your thing, figuring out how it's going to work for you.
Right.
And I feel like this isn't to knock anybody's thing on how they're doing, but I feel like it would be a lot more honest of places to say like, hey, it's a crash course, or hey, it's a beginner's guide. They call it a training and they call it all these things. And I think a lot of it is to get you to jump at the opportunity and like spend your money on it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you pay for it yourself?
So no, I didn't pay for it. The company did.
Okay, I got you.
You know, so it was all expense paid.
Okay, well that's good. At least they did that.
Yeah.
And I mean, in that case too, you're figuring it out. Like as you're getting into business, I think that like at the end of the day, like you always have to figure out your own way of doing things, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even with this, you got a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the biggest differentiators of what we do, though, is it is just that much harder to visualize while you're in a training course where everyone is also there training,
mm-hmm.
What a real client experience would be like. And I feel like that's one of the things that we do like well,
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. is that we actually put you on real jobs.
Right.
So you see a real person's home, a real commercial property,
yeah.
a real paying customer.
Yeah. Like a real interaction.
A real yeah. interaction. Mm-hmm. How a technician greets a customer, how he talks to him, how he might stop and explain something. Mm-hmm. And then also hands-on with someone who is doing not a tub for $400, mm-hmm. a tub for $600 to $800,
right.
a tub and surround for $1,500.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Things that a lot of people might think probably aren't possible.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing it happen.
Yep.
And you're also seeing that the guy who just collected that money rolled it all on. And that nobody gives a fuck.
Right. Right. Exactly. yeah.
So that's one of the biggest hurdles I feel like for guys who have spray experience, which I think your situation's a little unique, and we're going to get into, I think, like how you got into the whole industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. But like a lot of guys who spray get hung up on the, I think the wrong thing. And I think I've talked about it before, but we touched on it briefly. You can be on a master at the trade,
mm-hmm.
But not necessarily a good businessman.
Right.
A good business Correct. Owner.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's because the value is kind of misguided. And a lot of the times people have higher standards than the industry even calls for.
Mm.
People wear that as a badge of pride
right.
rather than giving the people what they want.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the only way to really scale is to have predictable, repeatable results, not this one in a million unachievable, unattainable thing that nobody yeah. but Paul could do.
Exactly. Because it's like, if you're trying to get that absolute perfect glossy glass finish every time, like maybe you can do that. But if you're, you know, trying to teach somebody else just off the street, you know, to do that consistently every time, that, you know, that's very difficult to do.
It's nearly impossible. It's not impossible, but it's close to.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons I say that is because, I mean, just look at it. There's not a lot of big players in this industry. And the ones who are big players don't promise that.
Right.
The biggest player in the space, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, like they bake in a secondary visit because they know inconsistencies are part of the job. How can we guarantee consistency? We come back the next day to fix anything that might be wrong with it. That's how they scaled. And that's why they've been the biggest one for the longest time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's other people who they do next day QC. Danny Garcia does next day quality control.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that means? That means the next day we're going to go and buff and polish or touch up if it needs it, because inconsistencies are part of the job. Versus in a situation like yours, right, where you were about to start your own just spray company, no one's going to care as much as Paul does. You know that you can get it right every day,
mm-hmm.
but you need to care enough to make it come out right every day.
Right.
See,
mm-hmm.
but you will care because you're Paul.
Right. Yeah.
But the other guy isn't.
Exactly.
And yeah. at the end of the day, that's the biggest thing. And that's why people don't scale in this space, is because they fear that, or they're just not good at showing.
Yeah.
So I told you this when we first started talking, but I saw that. I saw mm-hmm. that as an issue that plagues the entire industry.
Yeah. yeah.
And I said, no, I'm just going to dumb it down.
Yeah.
How can I give a good enough result that's still good, provides value in other avenues, in other places, charge more for it, and make it easier for people to learn it?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And that, I feel like that's what we did.
Yeah, yeah, I think so, definitely.
I mean, you've gotten some hands-on with the product this past couple weeks. And even though there is a slight learning curve to it, because there is,
mm-hmm. yeah. As with anything,
yeah. And you tell me if I'm wrong, but do you think it's going to be easier or harder to train someone to use the roll-on system versus spraying?
Yeah, this is going to be much easier. Just equipment alone,
Yep.
I mean, you know, anybody that's a sprayer can relate to, you know, having to carry up all that equipment to, say, like a third floor, you know, with no elevators, bringing that all in, bringing, you know, whatever else. By the time you do that, you're already tired. You haven't even barely looked at the tub yet, and you're already kind of winded from that. And then you got to go and, you know, prep everything, mask everything off, hook all your machines up, and then, you know, and then spraying. Now, spraying is, you know, that in itself is an art form.
100%.
You know, so trying to use, manipulate the gun, and also just understanding what you're actually using, you know, all its parts, take it, if it's, you know, jamming up, if you get a clog, you know, how are you going to fix it? And sometimes when you're all suited up, masked up and everything, and, you know, the gun isn't working, like, it's a pain in the ass to, you know, take it apart and try and clean it out. It's somebody that's new at doing that is going to have those issues.
Yeah.
As opposed to rolling it where, you know, yeah, like you said, there's a learning curve. There's a certain technique to it. But it's much easier to get over that curve than, you know, than the whole spray side of it.
I mean, just not having to recognize operating procedures of equipment,
mm-hmm.
Opening yourself up as a business owner to damage of that expensive equipment.
Right.
Those are big, big factors. But I like something that you said, because guys think that I disrespect the industry because I roll on, and I think rolling on is a superior method for this industry,
mm-hmm.
Because spraying is an art form.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think some people believe that. I don't believe that.
Yeah, no, it's like there's nothing wrong with spraying.
There is nothing wrong with spraying.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that they learn spraying, and that's what they know.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, like, the way I look at spraying is it is an art form, mm-hmm. which is why it doesn't belong on a bathtub. Like I think that chasing this artistic level of detail on, let's face it, the thing people wash their ass in is not really called for.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. and so you might think that you're Mr. I Can Spray, not you in particular, but some people out there. But you might, and you might actually be able to, by the way, but there are some of you that like pretend like you're spraying Lamborghinis.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're not, and mm-hmm. the context is completely different. And let's face it, you're doing jobs most of the time that are sub-$1,000. So while it's not bad to wear craftsmanship on your, you know, as a point of pride, I believe in doing a good quality job. I also think that in many aspects, a lot of people overkill
mm-hmm.
as a means to compensate for the stuff they lack in business.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a gentleman out there that has a crazy company. He sprays everything, and he's out of Maryland. I'm not going to name his name, but he sprays with a needle that is like twice the thickness of like the ones that come standard in a gun. So like a 0.3, he sprays with like a crazy thick needle.
Yeah.
So he can put one fat ass coat on there and walk away.
Yeah.
But why? Because he knows his target demo. 90% apartments, they don't want to pay. He has no interest in convincing them. So he's playing to what it calls for. Okay. Now, if you want to be the craftsman and you want to take it, okay, when you're restoring antique clawfoots or this and that, something that is an art piece.
Right, right.
But mm-hmm. like Susan's tub, who gave you a hard time over $350 or $400, you're going to spend 4 hours freaking giving her like a mirror? I'm sorry. Right. I think you're stupid. Like I do. I think that it's misguided a lot of the time, and it's keeping a lot of people from growing. And I'm not even saying that in my true opinion, I'm not even saying that this is their solution, like rolling it on. I think that a lot of people, like, they try too hard in general and they focus on the wrong things. They'll be not busy. It's just them. They haven't trained people. And they're getting crushed by people who, frankly, compared to them suck.
Yeah.
But the fact is, if your expectation or your standard is up here and someone reaches just a knock under and it's not good enough, then at that point you need to look inward, I think.
Yeah, right.
You need to decide if you want to be a boutique or if you want to be a big player.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause let's face it, big companies, there's always a difference in expectation when you're dealing with a bigger company. It's more about customer service. It's more about a quality job, not a perfect job. It's more about responsiveness. It's more about so many other things than it is like an art piece.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think bathtub resurfacing, bathtub reglazing is like example of that, and something that I can compare it to where the context does matter a lot more is like, if you spray tubs, congratulations, but you're not a cabinet sprayer.
Right.
Like the guys who spray interior cabinets, completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. That's completely different.
It needs to be near perfection. Right. But guess what? No one goes out and does a kitchen cabinet for $1,000. They charge 10 grand, 15 grand. Because the context is right, because that is the centerpiece of the home.
Right.
It is an art. It is in the middle of the home.
Yeah.
It is,
exactly.
In the house, the heart.
It's like the heart. I was going to say that. It's like, how many people really, you know, see your shower or your bathtub, you know?
And you put a curtain in it the day after it's painted.
You put a curtain in it. You put all sorts of cleaning products, shampoo bottles, you know, all types of hangings. It's, you know, it doesn't have to be that serious. And, you know, but also back to the fact that, like, comparison side by side, it's not a huge difference.
It's
when I was out in the field, I'm watching with the final top coat rolled on, and I'm looking at it, and I'm as close to the tub as, say, this coffee table.
And you're trying to find the problem.
I'm looking at, and I'm like, that looks like a spray job.
Yeah,
it's like, it looks exactly like a spray job. The only time it doesn't is when you get really super close, kind of magnifying glass, like, okay, you know, I could kind of see it a little bit. But at that point, it doesn't matter. And, you know, like I said earlier about, you know, having a little texture. I mean, I don't, you know, quite completely understand about, you know, what it is about really having this nice, perfect, high gloss finish. Like for me, yes, I loved when it was more of a satisfaction thing where I would go, I would spray. And if I got it like, you know, near perfect, where just all around super silky smooth, that's what I would always aim for. There was something satisfying about it.
Sure.
But the thing is, the only person that cared at the end of the day was me.
Yeah.
You know, my boss didn't care about it. The, you know, tenants didn't care about it. Maintenance people, whoever, they didn't care. They just wanted it done. You know, I was the only person that really cared about, you know, of it coming out that I did, you know, a fantastic job at it.
Yeah, I mean, but having the ability and doing it every time are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's like when people have two cars, right? Like, you might have your weekend car that's your nice baby, your old fucking 67 Chevy, and then you drive around a Toyota during the week.
Yeah.
Because the situation is different. The context is different.
Right.
And so when you're dealing with a customer who is like, I want to restore an antique clawfoot bathtub, and this is like going to be an art piece and blah, blah, blah. Then you break out the big guns, but you charge accordingly.
Right.
But for the Pennsylvania Housing Authority.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Exactly.
Why are we playing these games?
Yeah.
And then people were like, I give 100% on every tub. Hey, bro, congratulations.
Yeah.
But if you give the customer who's paying $400 the same thing that you give the customers paying $600, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Because somebody paid more. Like, which is why, honestly, I provide different options for people. I believe in that. I believe that, like, if you are going to contribute more to my business, my family, my guys, that you deserve something better.
Mm-hmm.
And in every single business except for, it's always the, I'm a craftsman. I always do it the same way. I'm a real craftsman. It's like, dude, you can go buy a car right now and they're not going to sell you the Mustang GT for the same price as the freaking base model.
Right.
Like, you can't get it for an EcoBoost price. Go and try.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every single company in the world that is big has options for their customers. You can go get the iPhone 17. You can go get the iPhone 17 Pro. You can go get the iPhone 17 Pro Max. Mm-hmm. What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And right. guess what? It's more expensive the more you want.
Right.
And it's like that across the board. I like bringing Apple as an example because I've gotten some pushback by people saying, you're offering a no warranty option, blah, blah, blah. That's like bullshit. Like, I warranty everything I do. And then I'm like, I look at Apple and like Apple sells their 17. Then they also sell a phone called the 17 SE, which is like two model years old. It's basically useless for like the person that wants the most budget thing ever. Even the biggest, most premium phone company does it. So like, why do you think that is? It's because at the end of the day, it's not about what you think about the bathtub. It's about what the person paying for it thinks and what their expectation is with the type of money they're spending. And so if you deliver perfection at $400 and perfection at $600, why would anybody pay six?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No brainer.
But people don't get that.
Yeah.
Like some of the people who follow me, and granted, most of them are cool and we talk and a lot of people agree with me. But some of the people just, it just doesn't compute with them that like, no, but I always do the job the same way. Cool. Then you should be the most expensive guy in town.
Yeah.
Well, no. Well, I mean, if like I had a gentleman who called me yesterday and he's like, how much you charge for a tub? I'm like, between $650 and $850. He's like, but if someone told you $550, you'd do it, right? No. Not without taking something away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because then I'm an asshole, bro. If I told you it's $650 with a 5-year warranty and someone else just asked nicely, then I'm a liar.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it tells you.
Mm-hmm. It's like, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to tell them, first, I'm going to do everything in my power to make them not. Mm. I'm not going to go to $550. I'll be like, how about $625 and no non-slip?
Yeah.
Oh, but I want the non-slip. Now you're right back into the door of making the freaking sale. Mm-hmm. Hey, I won't strip it though. If it needs to be stripped, it's going to be an additional cost. If you want that discount, I'm going to take things away. I'm not just going to gift people a discount because they're asking nicely. Because again, then that makes you a liar. And I'm not a liar. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, like I think that what this, a lot of this stuff boils down to is just making the outcome line up with the expectation, and then making that expectation line up with what they're willing to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if someone wanted a absolute glass show for $200, everyone would laugh them out of the room.
Right,
but for some reason, at $500. They justify it.
Mm-hmm.
It still doesn't call for it. Now, if a customer's paying $1,000, but that's what we do here is just buff and polish it and call it a day, and it achieves the same result. You saw it when we buffed the tub.
Yeah, yeah.
How it just changes.
I like
how it
that
looks.
Process too. Yeah, exactly.
So, but again, that's a premium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, know?
And in life, you pay premium.
Premium prices for premium product.
Exactly. So digressing from there, I'm glad you came by. I'm excited about getting everything started out there in Central Mass and seeing how that goes. And I think that, I've had a couple people come through already doing this. I think you're like the fourth, fifth one that's like completely gone through the training. Some people were involved in like since the jump and then like it transformed into it. But they didn't get the full 2 weeks and like one-on-one. Actually, did I say fourth? I think you're fifth, something like that. Mm-hmm. You're up there though. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed our time, especially because I feel like you're open to a lot of the ideas that I'm presenting you.
Right.
You're seeing it in action. And one of the things too is like, you asked good questions. I mean, I'm constantly asking if there's questions. You told me no a couple of times, but every time you did have a question, it was like introspective. Like you're actually trying to figure out beyond just the paint stuff of like, I got a question about this thing in sales, or hey, what do I do in this scenario? And to me, that just reassures me that you're really paying attention, but also that you really get my vision for what we're doing.
Right.
Which is really tailored to sales first, business first, and then everything else will come with it.
Right.
So that's what I'm excited about. And so I appreciate you coming by and taking this, this journey, because it's going to be exciting to see, and we're going to get back together soon on it. But I do want to touch on your journey in the industry.
Yeah.
I ask people all the time how they got involved in this industry. And kind of, yeah, just how that whole started. Like, how did you get involved in the tub reglazing world to begin with?
Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting story. So I ended up getting a job with a company. They did not do full refinishing in the very beginning, or at least this was a franchise. It's a nationwide franchise. And I got a job. They do mainly what you'd say like spot repair. So if your bathtub is cracked or chipped, you know, you bondo it, you know, typical, sand it down, and with your airbrush gun, just kind of match the paint and just cover it all up, make it look nice. So it was everything from bathtubs, countertops. If your countertop is chipped, we could fill that in, match, you know, color match the paint. Even like, say, wood flooring, if that's all messed up, scratched up, we could kind of, you know, put wood filler in it, match the
color. Oh, they would touch up the wood floors too?
Yeah, yeah, they do all sorts of different, you know, small minor repairs. Things that, like, instead of, you know, ripping up the tile on your floor, or, you know...
Are those the same types of companies that do like the glass stove restoration?
Yes, yes.
Oh, same, that's fucking cool.
Type of company, yeah.
I've never seen somebody actually do that. I've seen, I know that it can be done, but I've never actually witnessed someone do it.
Okay, yeah.
That's interesting. So, but how'd you get involved with them? You just applied one
day? Yeah, I just applied one day. They were saying, you know, I mean, the advertisement was looking for somebody with, you know, a little bit of artistic, you know, a creative side to them. Those are the type of people they like to apply, because when you look at some of the granite countertops, there's about 6-7 different colors in there.
You have to have an eye for it.
Yeah, you have to have an eye for it. You have to match the pattern. You have to match the colors. You have to mix the colors. So there's a lot of that going on. Even like with wood, you know, can you match the wood grain? You know, can you make it look exactly, you know, or close to what it looks like, not just dabbing some, you know, stain on it.
So you were there, you were that company is as a whole, or that location's kind of entry into the bathtub refinishing world?
Yeah, so that was kind of my entry to it. So we didn't, they weren't doing full refinishing yet, but I was about maybe 3 months in. We did mostly bathtub repair work, but about 3 months in, my boss had come to me and he said, hey, listen, you know, there's also an option for us to do full bathtub refinishing. You know, the company requirement is that you would have to, you know, go 3 weeks, I'm sorry, 3 days of training to Chicago to learn how to, you know, basically spray down and completely refinish bathtubs, also countertops. And he asked me if I wanted to do it. And I was like, yeah, hell yeah, sign me up. You know, of that course. Sounds really interesting. But back, somewhat digressing, is, you know, the reason he knew I would be into it is because it involves spray paint.
I gotcha.
And so now, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm also a graffiti artist.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So
I didn't. This never came up.
Okay. So yeah, that is why I love spraying paint, and that's why I totally understand, you know, the whole spray thing of trying to get this perfect. There's something about, you know, spraying paint that is so satisfying that it's like, I feel like, you know, I almost have to do it just to satisfy my soul.
That is so interesting, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, I mean, but you were like on the street. You were doing graffiti artist stuff on the street?
Yeah.
Was it commissioned? How was that
so,
work?
So, yeah, it's I have a whole, you know, somewhat of a career, you know, through this. It started as probably like my late teens and more so in my early 20s, 30s, even up to now I'm, you know, 45 years old. And, you know, I don't do anything illegal at this point. Not to say that
anymore.
Not anymore. Not to say that I never did. I definitely, you know, have had my time with that. But... that's, you know, I've had a passion for it, and you know, it's just like the, you know, crazy murals and lettering that you may see in certain areas.
But you
areas.
See, that's see, and that goes in line with what I'm saying. Like, mm-hmm. if it is art, and that's it's therapeutic and whatever. Like, that's a cool avenue to do that, and also in general, if you just like spraying and you want to keep doing that, that's fine. I just, mm-hmm. I think, for me. Dumbing the system down mm-hmm. to get a more achievable result in tubs
mm-hmm.
was a no-brainer.
Right.
But
right.
but then again, I respect the guy who can spray, man. I mean,
yeah.
We had a big car show, the Mecum one. It's like a huge car show mm-hmm. on the fairgrounds in Kissimmee around the corner from here.
Okay, yeah.
And you see a lot of old cars with like that mm-hmm. nice candy paint. Where
right.
You would never be able to get that with a roller, dude.
Yeah, no, no.
And mm-hmm. you need to be skilled because you're layering on colors and then just clear coats with different levels of, with different types of glitters. And then you're doing it again. Like, and so that stuff to me is like, that's when it calls for it in my mind, right?
But because that's to be, you want to showcase that. You want to show it off. You want people to see it.
Exactly.
Like, you're not going on, hey, everybody want to come over and, you know, check out my bathtub. You know, you don't have that.
I just got it done. Yeah. It's like, dude. I mean, funny enough, even like that, it's like me right there, like playing on like when girls get their nails done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even then, though, it's like, it's to show it off. Like,
yeah, that's exactly.
What, you know, mm-hmm. but man, that's so interesting. So, I mean, to me, it's so interesting because you love to spray in general outside of just the work stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But this still appealed to you as a business opportunity, which that's awesome. And I think that's so interesting. I'm hearing about this for the first time about the graffiti stuff. So that's, mm-hmm. that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But let's continue on and you were talking about, you know, you knew your boss would think you're a good fit for this because of your graffiti like kind of background. He knew you like spray painting, so mm-hmm. you continue from there.
So that's, you know, so we signed up. I can remember Hawk had sent a message back to us asking if I had any spray gun experience, which I didn't at the time. And you know, I don't know exactly what the wording was, but that they were a little, it sounded like they were a little wary about it, that just because it's like, typically they get people in that have no spray experience. And, you know, my trainer even said, you know, when I first started, you know, spraying down the tub, he was watching me and he was like, you really have no spray gun experience? He's like, you look like you do. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't have any experience with the gun, but I have plenty of spray experience with spray cans. Mm-hmm. So it's, there's differences, definitely. But however,
you recognized a couple things though, right? Distance and like the size of the product coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Atomization, you probably understand to a degree, right?
Like right.
If you get too far away, it could dry in there.
Right. Or,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So some of those things, some of those principles came a little natural to me, you know? So that's kind of, you know, where it came from. And, you know, again, that there still was a little bit of a learning curve. There is still a little difference of, you know, spraying down a tub and, you know, as opposed to, you know, spray painting a wall.
Yeah.
But that, in a sense, in a nutshell, that's how I got into it. And like I said, you know, I was the only, you know, refinisher in my company. We only had a few employees at the time, and everybody else was just, you know, doing just the regular small spot repairs. And, you know, so I started out on the tubs. Obviously, my first few tubs, you know, with a little training I had, didn't come out, you know, as great. But eventually, pretty quickly, I got the hang of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that was something, you know, that, like I said, certain aspects of it came very natural to me, where when we did acquire another employee, my boss wanted to put him directly on Spring right away. And, you know, I tried teaching him. He was with me for a good week or so. And, you I know, see. He just...
Now yeah. it makes sense, because you had told me a little bit about that, about mm-hmm. how, like, the problem is you skewed your boss's expectations.
Yeah, that was the problem.
And
yeah.
so he thought, oh, this spraying thing is a fucking wash.
Yeah, it's easy. Anybody could just learn it and do it.
And like, no. Look at Paul, I just sent him out there, and now he's the king of spraying. Yeah. Wow, mm-hmm. okay. So, yeah. Well, that makes sense, though, man. I mean, you mm-hmm. had a passion for it from mm-hmm. the beginning.
Yeah.
So it was easier for you to pick up that skill. Now, mm-hmm. like, how, so, and we talked about this briefly, but just for people who may be watching, like, what was the moment for you at the old company mm-hmm. or the chain of events that kind of led to you wanting to do your own thing?
Well, I think it had always been in the back of my mind to, you know, to have my own company, have my own thing. I just didn't really know what. I didn't yeah. know what I wanted to do. Like, you know, I'd mentioned, you know, I'm a graffiti artist, and a lot of those people go into, you know, some type of, go into the art world or go into tattooing or, you know, opening up like a graphic design shop, something like that. I never really wanted to go that route, just because to me, that's my fun thing. I don't want it as a job.
I got you.
I want that as that's during my leisure time when I want to have fun, I go and do that. I don't want to do it for anybody else. I like doing it for me as my thing, where, you know, I want to do something else as a job or as a business. And I didn't quite find it, you know, right away. It wasn't until that I was like, okay, you know, here I am working, you know, for a small franchise, and nobody here is a refinisher. Nobody really understands, you know, how to spray down a tub.
Not any normal person. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I'm the one with this knowledge, yet, you know, these are the, you know, people running the company, and they're kind of, you know, not really sure about, you know, what it's all about. And it's like, well, if they can do it, you know, someone with that actual knowledge and someone who does kind of have, you know, I love learning, you know, I read business books. I, you know, like I said, I've wanted my own business. I just wasn't sure what. Those two things eventually kind of just came together, collided, and I realized, like, you know, if these people can run a successful business and they, you know, they have no experience spraying whatsoever, and they're doing, you know, seems like at least semi-successful, at least from my view, I'm like, well, then I feel like I can put all this together and just go off on my own and do it myself.
So. And how long ago was, like, that decision made? Like, where, I mean, mentally, not the day you went and did it, but, like,
yeah.
mentally, when did you check out? Like, what was it, a couple months after you started? Was it a couple years in at that place?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly the whole, you know, timeline, but I would say maybe within a year or so, I would say, after spraying. So here's the thing, too, because, like, I don't have that, you know, background in bathtub refinishing. I just, you know, somewhat in a way just accidentally got into it. And well, lost my train of thought for a second. But yeah, the business, how I got into wanting to start my own business. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What for me, what I'm going to reiterate the question yeah. is, like, what, when did you, like, about how long into working for the last company did you, like, say, okay, I'm definitely just going to go do my own thing soon or eventually? Like, I know you said you always wanted to,
yeah.
but I know there was a moment at the company where you're like, okay, it's a for sure I'm leaving.
Oh, actually, no. I know exactly when.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. This is when the thought was implanted in my mind. So I have to digress a little bit. But when I was at Hawk training, the other person in the class, there was only me and another person, and this person already had his business. And we were chatting. And, you know, we've been talking. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't have, you know, my own refinishing business. I just work for somebody. And he had given me the idea. He was like, you know, you can start one on your own. Like, it's not that hard. He's like, you should do it. You seem like you're the type of guy that would want to do that. And just that alone, he implanted the idea. And from then on, it just, you know.
So wait, mm-hmm. but before you keep going, mm-hmm. this is literally what I always tell all of you lovely people out there, is that you train them. I love you, Paul. You can train them, but they will eventually choose themselves. Okay. Especially with a specialized trade. When you're taking them to a training where there's other business owners or someone else who wants to get into business for themselves in the same place where a guy is going and getting trained by a company, what he learns there is what he learns there. And that guy can now go and do that anywhere. And as a business owner, now you're looking at a business owner. Do you want another Paul? Do you want you want the same work ethic? Mm-hmm. You want the same ability to problem solve. Probably don't want him to dream that much.
Exactly.
So mm-hmm. that's another one of my big points about spraying. Mm-hmm. It's like, it is an art form. It is something that takes some passion and caring about to do well. Mm-hmm. And then if you spend all your time teaching them, they also have the potential to just go out on their own and do
it. Right.
Versus what we're doing, there is not a lot of tangible ways to refinish rolling on without mm-hmm. being part of this.
Right, exactly.
And mm-hmm. so competitive edge, a chance to build your thing before it becomes too mainstream. Mm-hmm. Eventually it will.
Yeah.
But if you're the first one that did it in your area, you'll always be the first one that did it in your area. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's funny that you say that, mm-hmm. but continue on from there. So guy tells you you should do it yourself. And at that point, you were like, I am going to go. Let me guess. I'm going to go back. Mm-hmm. I'm going to practice on this guy's jobs. And then when I feel like I really know what I'm doing, mm-hmm. I'm going to go and do it myself.
Yeah, but pretty much. Yeah. That's, yeah. I mean.
But mm-hmm. but that's the way it happens.
That's the way it happens.
And look, by the way, I can't even fault you for it. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, like, that is human nature.
Yeah.
You want to do better for yourself, for your mm-hmm. family. You have a child, a significant other. Like, you want to do better for Paul, bro. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, the other guy is going to be good, with or without you.
Right.
But when we originally talked, everything's kind of starting to fall into place. Mm-hmm. Makes yeah. sense. But, hey, man, respect, honestly, for looking out for yourself. Because a lot of people don't. Mm. And so, you know, you could have been pigeonholed into something for the rest of your life. But when we talked, and you know, you were asking about, you know, spraying and all this stuff, and I was telling you, like, you know, what we do is different, but let me tell you why it's actually better. Mm-hmm. And I said that to you, like, I was yeah. like, would you want to hire another you and just train him for a year or two, and then he just picks up and leaves?
Right.
No. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants that as a business owner, and so it's. It's more secure. It's safer for you to build something. It's also easier to train. So if you do have a revolving door of people for whatever reason,
yep.
it's easier to put someone in a position to win. Mm-hmm. You don't have to send them to a training to do it. You mm-hmm. can train them.
Right.
And you can tell them whatever you want to tell them.
Yes.
You don't have to let them get corrupted out there by the big, yeah. But you know, at the end of the day, that guy, kudos to him though for implanting that seed, bro, because everybody... Like, what everybody, I think everyone who is capable of things has had that moment where somebody, you already knew it to an extent that like you were destined for something better. Mm-hmm. But when someone else sees it in you and tells you and just gives you that extra like a confidence, like I think it does a lot, especially for a man. You
know, yeah, it's like, it does.
It's like, yeah, man, I could. And even if it didn't go into me having 17 technicians, like I'll still just do better than I'm doing now. And I could always go get a job.
Right.
Like if I need to. So that's awesome, man. So you do that. And then a timeline from there to when you actually like just let it go. Mm. What was the time frame, more or less? A couple months? year?
Yeah, it was like I felt like, okay, let me, because, you know, with you're doing bathtubs, you're doing tile, you're doing countertops, and a lot of it is just, you know, you're busy work. I had, you know, just had a newborn son. It was like, let me just, you know, work, you know, put some money together, you know, and in the meantime, you know, research this. And I wanted to, like, I didn't want to just all of a sudden, boom, just rush out, start my own business, try and do that. It was more, let me get good at this first. Let me, you know, put all the pieces together, see what it is, not just, you know, spraying and painting, but, you know, just all the other aspects about it, whatever I could absorb, you know, from the sales rep to, you know, just dealing with people on a daily basis. And, you know, so I was kind of, and then kind of judging, you know, what type of route I wanted to go to. And not only that, but it was like, let me research this, of what this industry is all about. Let me see, because like I said, I had no prior experience. I didn't know anybody else that was doing this. And I didn't realize how big of a thing it actually was, that it was, you know, it's really its own trade, just the same as plumbing, you know, and electricians. I mean, and really just doing that deep dive into it and just seeing what else was out there, what other people were doing. And that's how I came across Bathtub Guys.
So what was your introduction to our company? How did that come about?
Just, you know, researching online, Googling, and probably, you know, I don't remember the exact moment, but figuring out, oh, there's actually a podcast on refinishing. It's like, this might be good to listen to while I'm by myself doing a whole big, you know, day-long job of, you know, tub and tile, and I can just put my headphones in, listen to what they have to say, and I can just, you know, do my work. And
is it weird being on it now?
I mean, in a sense, yeah, you know, but this is where, you know, I go back to say, like, you know, the power of social media. A lot of people don't realize how powerful it is. Like, if you weren't doing this, yeah, I would not be sitting here right now.
Yeah.
And voila, here I am.
That's awesome. What a fucking story, man. Mm. I mean, you did what a lot of guys do, but I like having the mental clarity to be like, no, this is actually a no-brainer. Let me turn the blinders off and actually listen to what he's telling me. And okay, that makes sense. And you had questions and we talked about it, but you actually came by and saw it. Mm-hmm. And I think now, especially, you see that this is gonna work. Like, I'm not even running ads for Paul, and Massachusetts got two leads while he's here training.
Right.
So potential for work already without even, like, no money spent on ads even yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but the other side of it too is, like, I think also you got to see, like, you can actually make a tangible business out of this because you saw the day-to-day with the tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You saw how, yeah, it's you still need to know how to prep. You still need to know how to do these things, but mm-hmm. the application is still learning curve, but easier.
Right.
And I can teach this to somebody and not have to send them away to a training, not have to spend 3 months doing it. Like, mm-hmm. realistically, a good week or two of now you showing some guy he's on the field ready to go to make you money.
Right.
Versus before, it's like it's flipped on his head around now, right? It's like, learn the prep and then you got to learn how to spray. Now mm-hmm. it's like, you learn the prep and you're 90% there.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. because the rolling on is a little tricky, but not that hard.
Yeah.
It's mostly about learning to manipulate the roller
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of finesse
yeah.
to get the finish at a level that is acceptable.
Right, yeah.
Because if you go in there like a gripping it like a freaking ape and just freaking, yeah, you'll get it to look like gravel. Dude.
Yeah.
Congrats. Mm-hmm. You didn't do the thing you're supposed to do.
Right, exactly.
But mm-hmm. with finesse, like, yeah, you saw Santiago holds the roller like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
No pressure, just kind of moving the paint around, letting it level.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get a desirable outcome.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that's awesome, man. So, I mean, and so tell me about, like, so when you made that decision and you were like, I'm going to go do this thing, how did the boss react? How did the other boss, your significant other, react. What was that like?
So my work boss, he seemed very surprised, and which actually that surprised me, because I feel like he was, I could almost sense that, like, he wanted to keep me around because he knew I wasn't going to be easily replaced. My work ethic is a lot different than other people's, or just your average person. And I'm not even trying to toot my own horn. It's just like, if I have a job, I go, I do my job. You know, if I'm...
Can I interject real quick, just for people out there? So before you really started like considering and made a decision of like, yes, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to basketball guys and do this thing. If an offer or some showing of gratitude was presented to you before you had a solid decision, do you think you would have taken it? Do you think that some of that is because you felt like I'm doing all this and not appreciated enough?
Well, yeah, I definitely felt that. I felt like I was putting in a lot of work, a lot of effort. And I don't think, you know, that, you know, my boss could fully grasp what I was, you know, doing. I mean, you have to think of it like I've been in some, you know, pretty nasty bathrooms that.
Well, your boss, he's not the one that went and got the training. So he thinks, dude, he's just going in there, putting up paper and spraying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, watch me hit this.
Yeah.
Playing his golf. Like he's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So it did kind of, you know, come at a shock to him, but like I said, it was just it was my time to move on, and I really didn't even tell him what I was going to do. I kind of just said, I just like to keep it private at the moment. I don't know if I'll ever tell him. Who knows? Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. But
did you see your boss often?
No, that was the thing. I didn't see him often at all. Sometimes it would be, you know, well over a month. Like, we would have weekly on-call meetings where we just, you know, spoke on the phone, but physically seeing him, not often.
Yeah.
Not often at all.
It's crazy. I mean, I think it's crazy that he wasn't surprised, knowing that you are definitely, I mean, you come off as a guy who has personal ambition and some drive, right? So it's like, maybe he was like, this guy is a desperate sucker who's going to fucking build a spray operation for me for $28 an hour.
Yeah.
Look at this guy.
Yeah. I think that's what he probably thought. But really it was like, okay, no, this is me. This is my training. I just happen to be getting paid for it, but this is me learning on, you know, what it takes to be a refinisher. And that's kind of how I took it. It was, you know, just me, you know, thinking about, you know, how I wanted to go about it, you know, if I wanted to go with, you know, a certain company's products over another. And, you know, I was listening to you guys, and when I, you know, listening to, you know, when Tubcast came out and then you had the Refinishers program, that really sparked my interest. Because I was really, you know, I wanted to explore kind of all avenues. But what really got me was, you know, because this is what I struggled with, because being a spray painter most of my life, I understand, you know, toxic fumes and how they can affect you. And where it was really a struggle of mine, where I was like, okay, do I really want to start a business spending, you know, the rest of my life, you know, spraying these harmful chemicals, you know, breathing them in. I mean, obviously wear a mask, but you can't always have the mask on.
Well, it's different because if you graffiti, a lot of times it's out in open air.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you're in an enclosed space. You're wearing filters, but guess what? If it's really hot out, you're going to be like, fuck the filters. I'm just going to rip the mask off real
quick.
And then you're inhaling the off-gassing, which is the worst part.
Yeah.
I get it 100%. Mm-hmm. So that line of thinking then got you to...
Yeah, to just, you know, and then just, you know, kind of dissecting what you guys were doing, and just, it just seems like you've really covered all angles, because it was also just, you know, not only is it safer, but the application, you know, is like still a learning curve, but easier, which is easier to teach.
Yeah.
Where like I've tried teaching people to spray. And that is a very difficult thing. You have to like have a knack for that or really want to learn. But rolling on paint, like it just seems like so much easier to teach somebody. So if you're going to have employees, it's going to be much easier to find somebody.
Yeah. The issues are different, right? Like mm-hmm. if you're spraying and you got to run, you're screwed.
Right. Yeah.
You got to run with this. You just go over.
You can fix it. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Debris because you didn't clean your gun.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to have that problem, mm-hmm. but your future hire will have that issue.
Right.
And then how much of that are they going to put up with you bitching at them about it mm-hmm. before they go and fuck off and do their own
thing?
And
they'll do their own
thing. Or say, bro, I get it. And then do it again. And now you're fixing stuff for free. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I've been through it all. I had a spray operation before here. This company sprayed from 1993 until the 2024. Mm. And I can tell you, man, I breathe easier at night. Not literally because of the fumes mm-hmm. also, by the way.
Right.
But like, dude, I used to panic at the idea. Mm. Of are my guys gonna put enough plastic,
right,
and fucking ruin someone's fucking cherry wood floors,
mess up somebody's bathroom,
like even in the great room outside, running mm-hmm. an exhaust and it has a hole in it, and now you're paying someone's floor,
exactly,
getting something on a family heirloom, getting something on their new vanity. A lot of the times we're going in after people are renovating and like. Yeah. The tub is not as important as their new freaking vanity.
Exactly.
I'm sorry to tell you. You can mm-hmm. say otherwise. It's not true. They care more about the vanity. And if you fuck it up, they will get pissed.
Yeah.
Like, bro, and the thing is, I've had it happen. Mm. So I had a situation where we sprayed, and all over the great room, there was fucking paint. And we couldn't get it off, and I had to pay $15,000 to refinish someone's wood floors. Mm. Because they said, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it's not my freaking level of expertise, that they couldn't refinish just a section because then it would look different than the rest of it. Mm-hmm. If they're doing like a buff and polish.
Yeah.
It's like, this is wood that's been sitting for a year mm-hmm. or two after being polished. It's been worn. And if I only do this area, then the rest of it's going to look strange. Mm-hmm. So redoing the whole thing was the answer.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's like, dude, how many of those do you go through before you're like rethinking everything?
Right.
Now, thank God, insurance exists. Mm-hmm. And so I had to pay some, but the homeowner got $15,000.
Right.
And my policy went up for eternity. Mm-hmm. And that's life.
Yeah.
But that's also why when presented the opportunity to do something different, and in my case, you know, and in yours, when you saw this, you must have, I mean, for you, after everything you told me, you must have been like, fuck, this is kind of a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. It's just, like, even that example right there, it's so much less of a liability. You know, you want to minimize those types of things, you know, when running a business, or at least cut away the fear of that actually happening, you know? So, I mean, there was that. There was also just the strength of this stuff. Like you can see, you know, it's definitely something that I've noticed, like, because I know what, you know, sprayed on paint looks like. And then
what it feels like too.
And what it feels like. And then watching this go on and watching it like dry and harden, like you can really, like when you look at it, you can tell that is on there. That is a nice, tight, strong, you know, adhesion and cast on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this is really, you know, this is going to last. I liked that.
I think, and for me, like, a lot of people don't ever, like, talk about that. Mm-hmm. When you run your hand on a sprayed urethane surface, mm-hmm. it kind of feels like it's coated.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay? Mm-hmm.
When you run your hand on this, mm-hmm. it feels like porcelain.
Right. Right.
Like it feels heavy.
Yeah, it feels heavy. Exactly. There's a density to it.
Yeah. And so that is something that obviously doesn't translate through film or, you know, pictures or video, but it's something very real.
Yeah.
It gives you, and when you do the process the right way, it gives you the peace of mind that another thing that's a big benefit, right, is that I'm not going to have to be called back for dumb things like a freaking shower head hitting it.
Yeah.
The shower head, you can, I mean, you've seen the stuff. You could whip it on it and it'll just break. Mm-hmm. that's not always the truth for a polyurethane.
Yeah,
system,
exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, like there's use cases for when those types of coatings are ideal too. And also, if you spray, you can achieve a good finish that's going to last, but there's more steps involved. You need to get a lot of mill build on there. And a lot of the guys, let's face it, in the industry, even a lot of the I'm a craftsman types,
mm-hmm.
they do a coat of primer and two coats of top coat and call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the ones who care a little bit more do two primers and four top coats.
Right.
And if you really know your stuff, you know that most manufacturers recommend two coats of primer and six top coats.
Mm.
Why? To get a thick mill build on there.
Right.
So that it's impact resistant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, but are you going to sit there and do that?
Yeah. That takes a little bit. It takes a little bit of time. Takes a lot of paint.
Yeah. And the more layers you spray, if you're not skilled, the more margin for error.
Right. More chances of it running, dripping. Mm-hmm.
Which is why, I mean, by the way, the industry standard is like a 5-year guarantee. And it surprised me to see that in mass, a lot of people are offering 3. But also not because, again, Paul can get a tub to last 5 years. Can Paul Jr., like, can a new guy in town do it? No, probably not. Because he's not you. His name's not on the freaking building. It's not his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my point of like dumbing it down so that they can achieve a quality result without having to be perfect.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but that's awesome, man. So
yeah.
you do all that. And then, so when you tell your wife about this, and what was her reaction to, I mean, the whole thing as it's going on? I'm sure you guys spoke about these things to an extent, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she was a little surprised at first. Say like, but why? You like what you do. Like, what? Why are you going to do this? I'm like, well, because I want to go off on my own and start my own thing. And she understood from there. She knows what I'm about. And she's like, oh, yeah, no, that's a good idea. Yeah, do it, you know? And so there was never any, you know, pushback or anything from her.
Awesome. I mean, if she's supportive,
mm-hmm.
I mean, as a man, that's like one of the things you want, right? Is right. to have someone backing you. That's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in another, you know, alternative universe where she gives you shit about it,
mm-hmm.
Maybe you rethink it.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, there's bickering and arguing.
Yeah.
But her being on your corner, I think, honestly, probably even subconsciously helped motivate you even further, right?
Like, yeah.
Knowing that no matter what, she's got your back. And that's super important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in business, you know, like in business, you're going to go through a lot of good, but there's going to be struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly going to be when you start dabbling with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important to have someone that's backing you.
Right? Yeah.
So that sounds, you know, good. It sounds promising. And it's like having someone that believes in what you're doing is a biggie.
Yeah.
And the other thing that we both have in common now is we both have kids.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a son. He's 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Turned 6 months tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
You have a 2-year-old?
Yeah, turned 2 in end of December.
And is there any greater motivator than that, man?
Oh, no. It's just I feel like it's all kind of come together from this, you know, just having, you know, that child. It's just it's the reason I'm doing this. Maybe not completely, but a good, you know, chunk of why I'm doing this.
It's a motivator.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
It makes you think. I mean, suddenly, for those of you who are watching this who aren't fathers, I think the moment that I saw my son, I thought, I'm not doing enough.
Mm.
That's the first that run through my
mind. Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm admiring him, but I'm like, oh, I'm not doing enough.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Because, like, I wanna make him proud.
Yeah.
And at the bare minimum, also, like, have something to show.
Yeah.
For my time on this earth, because I know that one day I won't.
Mm-hmm.
And your kids succeed you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, damn, man, like that motivation, it's like, it never stops. I work an obscene amount of time.
Yeah.
Like I am working all the fucking day at 9 o'clock at night. You might catch me on a weekend at a cigar lounge and I'm on my phone.
Yeah.
Fucking working.
Working still. Yeah.
Like if I'm hanging out,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm at the gym, I'm talking about work.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, it just never stops. And, but like, I had lost a little bit of my motivation when I had a falling out with my business partner who, like, he was the first one that ran Tampa. We had a little bit of a falling out. We don't really talk much anymore, but we were like brothers, man. Mm-hmm. And a lot of like the motivation kind of just was like fucking low.
Yeah.
I still was doing things, but not doing anything with passion behind it. Cause I felt lost. I felt like,
right.
I feel like we were doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was we do this thing.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I'm doing this thing. And for what? And for why? And then my kid is born and it's like,
yeah,
there's all the fucking answers.
Then it all comes together.
Yeah. You don't need any more explanation than that.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for your kids.
Yeah.
Because your kids are an extension of you.
Right.
And for me personally, the reason I want to grow and why I have this vision, and I'm glad that you bought into it, and I'm glad that you see where we're going with it, is I want other people who are like me.
Mm.
We share a lot of views.
Yeah.
To have success. And for me, it's not about the money. It's more about the brand as a whole.
Right.
So if we could all lift each other up, then we're all going to be stronger.
Right.
So that A, B, and C might happen at your company, but there's a bunch of us that make sure that you're not going to fall.
Exactly.
A guy leaves and eventually we have a revolving door of people who can come in and just fucking, because this place is so sought after to work at that like someone leaves and there's just another guy.
Yeah.
You get a big project. There's someone who can help you in the network.
Right.
All these things. But also, man, for me, it's legacy stuff too.
Right.
What good is it having Bathtub Guys Orlando?
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's like, look what I empowered other people to help build.
Yeah.
It's not Daniel says, you go build the pyramid for me, Paul. It's like we all put a piece of stone into it together.
Right.
And we can all be proud of it.
Exactly.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I started this podcast to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And I started it from very humble beginnings. Okay.
Yeah.
I started it in a bedroom in a house where I was sharing the house with six other adults.
Mm.
Okay. Like, and I was talking about what I knew and open to hearing about what I didn't know.
Right.
And even then, I just kept trying to help people.
Mm.
And as I grew, I never stopped helping people. And to this day, even people, I have DMs from people, and you'd be surprised, some of you hearing this. People who literally say that I'm a piece of shit, that I'm a fat slob, that I'm this, that, or the third. And then they'll turn around a week later and ask me for advice bidding on commercial projects. And ask me if I still help them.
Mm.
I do.
Oh, you do? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
You want to know why? Wow. Because the way I think about it is, for me to dedicate that much hate and that much like energy towards somebody I don't even know, you must have a sad life.
Right.
And
right.
Ever since I had my son, I feel more like these people are just babies, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ever get that feeling of like, we were all just babies?
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'm like, what happened in your life to be this nasty?
Mm-hmm.
But if I can do something to help, I will.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it.
And you might not believe me, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to name any names, but he listens and he'll probably talk to me about it.
Yeah.
He has said things to me when he's on his drunken rants.
Mm.
Guy in his mid 40s, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who like, he hates on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll ask for advice.
Mm.
And I think that is him in some way dealing with his own inadequacy. Like, he feels like he didn't do enough. Look at this guy that's 10 years younger than me, fucking things up, and like, fuck you, but also, can you help me?
Yeah.
And aside from all that too, people who've actively talked shit about me, not to that extent, I've helped. And basically, my whole thing is, I believe in helping other people. Mm-hmm. I believe in creating opportunity for others. I think when you open doors for other people, more doors just open.
Right.
And I think that even if I open a door for you today, mm-hmm. and I don't get any gain from it for 10 years,
yeah.
that one day you'll remember mm-hmm. and another door will open for both of us to keep growing.
Right.
So that's what I'm about. And honestly, I think like one of the reasons me and Patrick work so well together is he thinks that way too.
Yeah.
Patrick is a guy who doesn't need to work.
Right.
Patrick can have Amazon on autopilot for the rest of his life, put all his money every year into a high yield savings account and fuck off on an island and play golf.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't.
Right.
He also could just sell his company, but he hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
If it was all about the money, then there's the exit strat.
Exactly.
Like mm-hmm. he could just live off of interest forever yeah. and just keep accumulating money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But no, he chose to invest over here
mm-hmm.
into something he believes in to help this industry mature and grow.
Right.
An industry really that hasn't matured a lot since it really started.
Yeah.
Where you still are hard pressed to find faces connected to their brand that supposedly this is my baby, my company, mm-hmm. my thing.
Right.
Because they don't see the value in it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We went through it the other day and I showed you like you're hard pressed to find a face. You go to 10 Instagram pages, maybe one has a face somewhere. People who talk openly about the industry,
mm-hmm.
who try to propel it further, there's so few of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bitter old fucks though.
yeah.
Uh-huh. And they're going to go by the way of irrelevance. A lot of them already are. And that's why they hold on to this like anger and hatred about anything new.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I respect what people do, even if it's different from me.
Right.
You know what yeah. I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to roll stuff on.
Yeah.
I'm just sharing why I do it.
Yeah. It's just another route. It's like, yeah. you know, there's many ways to get to a certain result. Exactly. And it's just, you know, just because someone picks one way and another guy picks another. I mean, really, do you really have to, you know, hate on each other to say, yeah, you know?
That's my thing. But it's like the little conversation we had like yesterday. Everything's become so tribal.
Yeah.
So it's like
yeah.
mm-hmm. you're either with us or against us. You're yeah. either with mm-hmm. spraying or against spraying.
Yeah.
And if you don't spray, you're a threat to the industry.
Right.
You're making it too easy.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. what I think.
Yeah.
It's like, don't you think it would be easier to solve your problem of hiring people if it was easier?
Mm.
There's an abundance of interior painters. Right. Susan can go paint her fucking walls herself. She still hires a professional painting company.
Right.
And they're easier to find mm-hmm. because interior painting is easier.
Right.
Why don't you want it to be easier?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of these guys, they believe the wrong thing. They believe that the skill is what got them successful in business. And they don't even realize it's all the other stuff. They keep focusing on the skill and the result isn't changing for their business. But they're not focusing on the business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's stuff that actually matters. It's what you keep building that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like you're either feeding your ego and your pride or feeding your business. So exactly. like you kind of have to pick one or the other.
Yeah. And I struggle. I mean, I still struggle with it to a certain extent. Like I have a lot of pride in my company.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sure. I told you this the other day. I don't like hearing about issues.
Yeah.
I do hear about them
mm-hmm.
on Fridays.
Yeah.
That's when I want to hear about them.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Because then Saturday and Sunday mm-hmm. is right there and I could just not
think exactly.
about it. Mm-hmm. When I mean issues, I'm not talking about things falling apart. Like mm-hmm. I'm talking about a truck broke down, a guy mm-hmm. was late,
mm-hmm.
somebody freaking was pissed because the roller broke on the freaking thing and it mm-hmm. left debris.
Mm-hmm.
We got a call back because the shit didn't dry the right way, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Guy did something boneheaded.
Yeah.
Pretty much that's what it is most of the time.
Right.
And I don't want to hear about those things because I feel like I don't want to hear about those things right away because I feel like it impedes my ability to continue progressing.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like a lot of people hear one thing and let it dictate everything that they believe.
Mm.
So one guy says, I don't like how that looks. No, you're right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, work for the many, not for the few.
Right.
You know, if 99% of people are happy, why are you going to sit there trying to make the 1% happy?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't make every customer happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I make most of them happy. I had a customer, by the way, first time in months that we sprayed. Okay. Let me tell you this. I had a customer, old customer. I haven't told the story yet. She hated the roll-on.
Oh, okay.
Hated it with a passion. But why? She called us repeat customer from years ago, though, before we were doing a roll-on. Okay. And she is, first of all, the technician fucked the job up.
Mm-hmm.
The first technician. So I sent Santiago to fix it.
Yeah.
But she's already got her fucking magnifying glass out. Glass. Right. Judging everything that he's doing. And she saw a very, very bad representation of how it looks. So then she's like, this isn't how you guys did it last time. I wanted sprayed.
Mm.
Santiago's like, let me show you how I do it. Comes out exactly the same as spray. Exactly the same.
Mm.
Because he buffed and polished it, dude. It's exact, mm. It looks like glass. No, no, no. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. We went and I sent my technician, Tyler, to spray Tubcast, which there's a way to do it, but it's not important. We're not going to get into that.
Yeah.
I told him how to do it. He sprayed it. It came out good.
Yeah.
Looked like the shit that he just left there. And she magically loved it. But she would not pay for the job unless we sprayed it. Because, why though? Is it because in the past we sprayed it? No. It's because she saw right in front of her face it not work that one time, and now she's judging it super hard.
Yes.
So my thing is, and I think this connects back to the conversation we were having in a broader sense, is that people try things once, then they become pussies and drop it, and then they wonder why they never progress.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And my whole thing is, I made an exception for that lady because we already started the job. If she would have called us and be like, let me get a quote, I want it sprayed, I would have just told her no.
Mm-hmm.
I made the exception in that scenario. Am I going to go back and spray everything now? No. On the contrary, I told her, Nancy, I love you a lot. You're a great customer, but don't ever call my company again.
Mm.
What? But I'm not spraying it ever again.
Yeah.
I did this for you as a one-time courtesy.
Yes.
Don't ever call us again.
Because mm-hmm.
I am not doing that. I'm not going to write the rules for the one fucking person. For the
one person. It's not worth it.
No, it's not worth it. It's never worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you go into business with the idea of, I'm only going to work with those people.
Right.
Which is fine. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you want to build a business, if you want to scale, mm-hmm. you want guys.
Yeah.
No. So that happened. That's how I connected it to that. It's the same kind of thing, man. Don't let the rules for the few dictate how you operate your entire thing. You got one guy to bitch about one thing and you're over here saying, oh, I guess that one thing doesn't work. It's like, you haven't even tried it enough to make a decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of the people, by the way, that judge how this looks, they've never even seen it.
Yeah.
By the way, they've never even
yeah,
seen it.
No. Mm-hmm.
They've seen pictures.
They've seen pictures maybe.
And but even in the pictures, you literally can't tell.
Yeah.
Because the social media sites compress everything.
Right.
It all looks the same. I showed you earlier. When I polled people, mm-hmm. no one knew what was what.
Yeah, exactly.
They all claim that they do.
Yeah.
They're professionals and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It all looks the same.
Yeah.
But none of them have seen it in person.
Mm-hmm.
They say it looks like shit. It's orange peel. It's this and that and this.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Hey, man, at the end of the day, who's busier, bro?
Right.
That's what it really matters, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but when they're coming with that already biased mindset, it's just like, it's just that negativity that no matter what it looks like, it's just, you know.
It's true. It's in the industry, like a lot of guys who hear roll-on think Rust-Oleum kit that I stripped off last week. They think it looks like shit because they're my Nancy, my customer, that's like, oh, mm-hmm. I saw how that looked.
Yeah.
And now I have a negative connotation to all of it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And bro, it's so funny because Santiago buffed and polished it. So it looked better than this bridge.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. She still was anti.
Just, yeah, until, exactly.
Until she saw someone spraying it.
Right, yeah. If you have that in your head and you just, you can't see any other way, I mean.
Yep.
You know.
But yeah, man, so any last words before we get off of here? We've been on here for a little bit.
Yeah, how long?
I don't know.
Lost track of time.
Probably like an hour or something.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. But yeah. No, I'm just super excited about this. I'm just so glad I got the opportunity. I think it's just such a good fit, and I just love where this is going, and I'd love to see what this future holds.
Yeah, man. We'll revisit a poll one of these days soon. Maybe I can get you down here again and follow up and just talk progress. But we're gonna definitely be communicating back and forth a lot. You're gonna get tired of me. When you tell me you don't need me to talk to you no more, I won't though.
Yeah.
I will do weekly check-ins regardless. Mm-hmm. But the first couple weeks, couple months, I'm going to be, hey, this lead came in.
Yeah.
Did you get to them?
Mm-hmm.
Because the bathtub guy's way is speed, bro.
Right.
Efficiency, speed.
Right. Yeah.
And then that's how Paul's gonna have a bunch of texts. Is like, mm-hmm. You need to be on it.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. yesterday, by the way, at 7 o'clock at night, I had a lead that reached out to our Instagram page.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized the name from the lead form. She like submitted our lead form and then she went on Instagram and followed us. And I texted my brother, Alex. I was like, this lady's going to book that shit like instantly.
Yeah.
And he was like, I already talked to her. She's going to go get her credit card right now. And it was 7 o'clock at night, by the way.
Wow. Yeah.
That's what it takes sometimes.
Though. Yeah, exactly.
We took her off the market. There was no more shopping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No more shopping.
Right. Yeah. Because
we got to her before she even had the chance to dial another number.
Get it while it's hot. I mean, that's what you have to do.
So thanks, Paul, for coming by. I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
It was fun. Mm-hmm. And safe travels back home, man. We'll touch back soon. All right, man?
Awesome.
All right, man. Take care.
All right.
You've been listening to the Bathtub Refinishing Podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to keep up with the Bathtub Guys on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Or visit bathtubguys.com for more. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.